Over the years, people have frequently said to me, everyone has their own faith. They have their own beliefs. I talk to friends. I go to different churches. Each one seems so sure about what they believe, but they don't all agree. How do I know what is true? How do I know what is true? There's a difference between truth that we are taught and the truth you know to be true in your heart. The first is sometimes called historical faith, or faith in what others have said, or the faith of authority. And it's the faith we all start out with before we are regenerated to the point where we have true love in our hearts. The only faith we can have is the faith that we see first by being taught, and later by using our mind or our understanding to think about things. It's the faith we start out with, but it's not the faith we hunger for. When someone asks me, you know, how do I know what is true? They're not saying, you know, who should I listen to? They're saying, where do I get the perception to see truth as truth? So the historical faith that we get from others is like the light that was created on the first day. And the sun and the moon and the stars were not created until the fourth day. And as a creation story, creation of the world, this doesn't make much sense at all. But when we think about this as a story about spiritual rebirth, then we can learn from it and begin to understand the process of regeneration. Let's read in Secrets of Heaven number 30. The progress of faith in those who are being created anew is as follows. Initially, such people are without any life, as no life exists in evil or falsity, only in goodness and truth. Afterward, they receive life from the Lord through faith. The first form of faith to bring life is a memorized thing, a matter of fact. This is what we are taught. The next faith is faith in the intellect, faith that's truly understood. It's reasonable to us. It makes sense. The last faith is faith in the heart, which is a faith born of love, and it's called saving faith. And we'll stop reading for a moment. This is the faith we want. This is the faith we want. Faith that comes from our hearts. Faith that saves us because of the Lord's presence in us. The other faith, even faith strongly attached to our own ego, you know, like, this is what I believe, this is what my parents believed, or this is what my church teaches, this is what I believe. Faith that's attached strongly to our ego can have its own satisfaction, but it doesn't really satisfy. Kind of like the water that the woman who came to the well in the story of the Samaritan woman. The woman came to the well to draw water. And we do that work of learning the truth, coming to the well to draw water, but it doesn't really satisfy. It just provides the means of growth. What she really wanted, and what we really want, is the living water, water that the Lord is offering her. So, going back to our reading, and this reading is, it's talking about the first truth, which is described in this reading. And it, when it refers to the verses 3 through 13, it's talking about the verses in Genesis that describe the first 3 days of creation, going up to the creation of plants. So in verses 3 through 13, The things that had no living soul represent factual faith, and faith truly understood. But in verses 20 through 25, which are the verses we haven't read yet because they follow for the fifth and sixth day, in verses 20 and 25, this is the point at which love and faith that rises out of it are first dealt with, and they are called lights. Love is the greater light that rules by day. Faith springing from love is the smaller light that rules by night. And we get guidance from the moon when we're not in a state of love. So when we're darkness, when we're perhaps enslaved by some evil, or being, pursuing some self-centered goal, or worried about what others think, then we can turn to the faith that is represented by the moon, because it gives us guidance, even though we're not actively feeling love in our hearts. We need the first faith, that's the historical faith. It's a necessary part of preparing the ground, the waters above and the waters beneath, and the planting of the different kinds of plants and bearing seeds, fruit-bearing seeds and those kinds of things. We need that, but it's not what we really want. And, some people don't ever regenerate beyond that stage, and I think they're most of them in heaven. Because they're in obedience to what they believe the Lord wants them to do, even though they're not truly in love of the Lord or the neighbor. And that obedience is enough to give them a place in the Lord's kingdom, and He loves them and blesses them. But they're stuck there, and it's like people love the faith of authority. It's true because the Bible says it, and I know it, and that's that, kind of attitude. People love that certainty. It's in some ways easier than trying to sort out our feelings of love for one another and to discover the best way to serve each other or do what is good to them. So, we can get stuck there, but the faith that we really want is the faith that is brought alive by love. And this faith is represented by the animate creatures, the fishes, and then the birds and mammals that are created on the fifth and sixth day. And it's that that the Lord wants for us. He wants us to be truly filled with life. The life that comes from love, the understanding that comes from wanting what the Lord wants, and not having that inner conflict of wanting what we want and seeing that it's opposed to what the Lord wants. Having love in our hearts is the meaning of the fourth day of creation, the creation of the sun and the moon and the stars. Nothing grows without the warmth of love. Like the light of the moon, faith without love does not produce anything. But when faith and love are together, like the warm light in spring, things grow in us. Jesus called himself the light of the world because we learn to love by following him, ultimately wanting to do his will. Let's read about that in John chapter 8, verse 12, and then 31 through 36. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And the word follows is really important there. Following the Lord gives us light. He then went on to say, and this teaching, by the way, its place in the Gospels is interesting because the Lord has just dealt with the woman who was taken in adultery, and he asks people who are without sin to throw the first stone, and they all leave because they're convicted by their conscience. And the Lord says to the woman, where are those who condemn you? And she says, they're not here, Lord. And he says, neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. And then he says, I am the light of the world. Right there. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness. And then it goes on in the same chapter. If you abide in my words, he's saying this to the people who are following him. If you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? You see that being caught up in historical faith. We are Abraham's. We have this lineage, this collection of teachings. How could we be in bondage to anyone? And Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. And it's Son, of course, is referring to the Lord as the Son of God. But it's through the Son of God that we know the Son of Heaven, the Father, the divine love itself. The seventh day of creation is where the Lord wants us all to go. He doesn't want us to stop on the third or the second or even the fifth or the sixth. He wants us to go all the way to the seventh day of creation. And not all of us choose to do that. But it's his goal for us. And to get there, rather than to get stuck in dead faith, we need to be set free. And this takes struggle, it takes spiritual warfare on our part. But I've noticed it's interesting that much of the Bible deals with warfare and conflict and famine and hunger and doubt and bondage of various kinds. But none of these are mentioned in the summary of rebirth, which is the creation story. And I think this is because the creation story is talking about spiritual rebirth from the Lord's perspective. It shows from beginning to end how God takes us and makes us from being full of darkness and emptiness to being full of life. And God is doing that work, and he's not tempted in the process. He never has any doubt about the possibility or the outcome. God doesn't have to struggle in the work to regenerate us. God doesn't look at us and despair about our spiritual state. He looks at us with love and feels delight in whatever progress we're making. We, on the other hand, do all of these things along the path of spiritual rebirth. Inanimate faith, the faith that is the let there be light stuff, doesn't become living faith in us without struggle, without battle. We do not learn to love God or acquire the love of God for ourselves by our own effort. It is given to us freely by the Lord, but we need to come to a state where we want it and where we receive it with humility, where we know in our hearts that without God, we can do nothing. Faith in the heart and mind is given us by the Lord to the degree that we recognize in our hearts and minds that we are powerless. And part of what happens in the days leading up to the fourth day of creation is that we're doing good things and we're following the truth, but we think we're doing it by ourselves. And to get beyond that, we have to face the struggle that comes as we realize that we can't do it ourselves. Struggles teach us that we are powerless. Powerless to learn, powerless to shun evils, powerless to do goods. Those strength, those abilities all come from the Lord. And it's the role of temptation to open us up to receive the love that is the source of all light. The two great lights, love and faith, one ruling the day and one ruling the night, are the source of everything living in us. That's where we get the, I know this to be true, because it connects with the love of God and the love of others. And it also marks the real beginning of freedom, because we are free when God is in us, as Jesus said. As long as God is not in us, we're continually being led away into different things. But when God is in us, we are free to do his will. And we have no desire to do anything else. He's there in our thoughts. He's there when we think and reflect. And it is in this fourth day that for the first time we truly live. Amen.